Hi everyone, it's Mario Fifina. Welcome to episode 1 of my podcast 360 degrees. And well, today we're going to be talking about a topic that has been on the minds of everyone lately. Rape. Rape, rape, rape. And you can understand that it's a very serious topic because it affects a whole lot of folks in our society. Now, I have a guest with me today, Rona. She's gonna, when I say hi now.
Hi.
Okay, she's gonna be helping me talking about the pressing issue, rape. Now, first of all, Rona, when we say rape, what do we understand by rape? Like, you know, a lot of people don't actually understand this whole rape thing. Like, what do we understand by rape?
I feel, in my own words, rape is seen as a situation whereby you are really forced to perform any form of sexual activity. It's not something that you want to do, but you are forced to do it.
Terms, yeah. Like when you force a girl, you know, to do to perform any sexual activity, yeah, that she doesn't want to do.
Exactly.
At all, it's totally rape, and it's an issue. You know,
have a girl or a guy? Yes, let's not neglect.
Yes, I understand that it's a girl or a guy, but have you noticed that it's more rampant towards the girl child than male? I'm not trying to be, you know, you understand me, but I feel like this rape thing, it happens to ladies a lot.
No, I feel it's something of we expect the guys to be strong.
Okay.
And in our society, whenever we hear a guy is raped, so like, this guy is like supposed to enjoy it.
Exactly.
He's a guy.
Exactly.
So it's
totally
not rape. He's the one going to do,
yes,
stuff.
Yeah. But honestly speaking, that's the mentality I had when I was growing up. You know,
yeah, exactly.
That it's always like more like a fantasy.
Yeah.
When several girls try to force you to perform sexual action without your consent. But I think it's now that I've gotten the enlightenment that I can actually understand that, yes, this is actually rape. So, well, sexual assault and rape are never, you know, victims. The victims are never at fault. They are never at fault. You know, sexual assault and rape are crimes motivated by a need to control, humiliate, and harm. And it's very terrible. It's
very
really
terrible.
Really terrible. It's a heinous crime. Very, very heinous crime. You know, and we've seen cases of people actually committing suicide as a result of this rape.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's totally terrible. Like, you get to understand that, why? Why do rape? Why? Why?
Why do they commit suicide?
Why? Why do you rape in the first place? Why?
Why? Well, we can't actually put our minds in, like, try to think how a rapist thinks, because it's obviously not in our nature.
Exactly.
So I feel it's something psychological for them to get off from forcing someone. It's not sane at all.
Really, really.
He actually has to have some trace of insanity in his.
You know, I got to read about this whole rape thing more, and we've heard people talking about it on Twitter,
yeah,
on Instagram,
yeah,
you know, a whole lot of platforms, and people are talking about it. And actually, I've gotten a lot of, you know, they've thrown more light into this rape thing. And, you know, I've come to realize that if a victim does not fight the act, it does not mean consent.
Yeah.
Totally. If a victim does not fight the act, you know, most people are, you know, they have this mentality that when you are raping a person and the person doesn't struggle, it automatically means that the person is
enjoying it,
which is very, very terrible. Like, it's very bad. Who does that? It's very, very, very annoying.
A lot of people have their way of dealing with situations.
Exactly.
Some people deal with situations by taking their minds out of what is happening at that particular time. They're what looks like they are enjoying it because they are not fighting actually means they have gotten numb and they've transferred their mind somewhere else. And those people that actually deal with it by transferring their mind somewhere else are the ones that are suicidal, because when you transfer your mind out, your mind will surely come back.
Exactly.
And then you realize that I didn't do anything. I was just there. And then they start questioning themselves, start feeling their body betrayed them.
Exactly.
When you start blaming your body, that's what makes you want to kill yourself. Because exactly. Now you're like, my body actually betrayed me.
You feel ashamed.
Yeah, I'm ashamed. Like, and when the society now... People, I've heard cases where the husband or the friends that actually witnessed the rape will be like, you didn't fight, you didn't struggle, so you obviously enjoyed it. And then you don't, the lady starts questioning herself because she's hearing from different angles, you're not fighting. Whenever she turns to, nobody's actually feeling what she's feeling. So at the point, she'll start believing what they are saying, that it's her fault. It's our body's fault. And then that's where you hear the suicide.
Alright, so Rona has an experience. She wouldn't say it now. Okay, I would leave that for later. She wouldn't say it now, but just know that she actually has an experience. And, you know, you'll get to hear it later on in the course of the podcast. Now, you know, we're looking at the aftermath. Now, we've talked about the rape, the whole rape thing. Like, okay, now, the aftermath. The aftermath. Survivors can actually face extremely difficult and painful emotions and experiences. You know, it's exhaustive. Like, you get to see, you get to understand that this rape, the whole rape thing brings out the worst in people. And I don't know why a lot of people don't understand that. It brings out the worst in you. By the time you feel ashamed, by the time you feel, you know, you don't love yourself anymore, it leads to, you know, suicidal thoughts, just like you rightly said, you know. Now, people don't understand that if a survivor's response do not match common responses like the old, you know, crying and shouting and screaming, if a survivor's response do not actually match common responses such as no physical injury, it does not mean what happened was not sexual abuse or assault. Now, you know, common physical effects of sexual assault and rape, you know, we have the bruising, you know, like the bruising, the bleeding, difficulty walking, you know, soreness, broken or dislocated bones. We heard of the case in Benin. You know, she was killed eventually.
Yeah, she died.
You know, it's very terrible that we still see these things in our society, in the society that we've come to understand that, yes, a lot of people have access to the internet and all that. We still see these things, and the perpetrators... Some of the perpetrators are even on those social media platforms, which is very terrible. Like, you know, now we're going to talk about the mental effect now. Mental effect of the whole rape. Mental effect of rape. Now, I came across something on the net. You know, a lady was sharing her experience. You know, she said that when she was raped, she was actually raped by her family member. You get me? She was actually raped by her family member. And it turned out that she kept seeing this person every day. And it's really terrible. Like, you understand that, yes, you cannot run away from this. Especially when you are raped by somebody very close to you. It's really terrible. And my fear is that due to the fact that a lot of people are coming out right now, you know, a lot of stories are coming out. Why? Like, my question is, why? Why didn't they speak out at first? Why?
You know, some people have their time to, like, in dealing with situations.
Mm-hmm.
While some girls are actually chasing clouds, mm-hmm, in this whole coming out and stuff.
Yeah.
We heard of the story of Dandizi, that I don't know if it's true, but evidences show that Dandizi is actually innocent.
Okay.
So some girls are chasing clout, while other girls are, you know, when you feel this sisterhood, you feel like, okay, Sister A just came out, this lady just came out. So, okay, this is a safe environment.
Yeah, exactly.
Since everybody's coming out, let me come out. You know, it's not like that trying to get revenge. This is might be their own form of closure.
Yeah.
So that's why they're coming out now, some their form of closure. Exactly. So I feel bad when ladies are like, why didn't this girl speak up that time? You like the family member thing. You know what's happened in the family stays in the family.
Exactly.
So maybe at that point they were young.
Now you can understand with me that that's a bad notion. Yes, that's a very bad ideology.
But we're in a society where a lot of bad notions are actually working. And
so you have to understand that the society actually contributes.
Yeah, it's not an argument. Everybody knows that. In the society we live in, we have to deal with our problems in the society that we live in. We cannot try to pull out or fight it is actually hard. Just try to find your own happy place.
Exactly.
This whole
now, there's something I was going to say, you know, there was something I was going to say, like, it's been on my mind for a while now. Like, okay, I understand that we, you know, established the fact that, yes, rape goes both ways, you know, the male, the female, rape goes both genders. But now let's give an example now. You know, do you think the family is to blame for the way a rapist thinks? Do you think like the family is to blame for not actually imbibing
moral values? I do not blame the family. I feel in life everybody has a choice.
Okay,
when you choose to be bad, it's your choice.
Okay,
it's not your environment. Yeah, your environment might contribute, but in the end you have the final say.
All right.
And there's a lot of bad in this world, yes?
Exactly.
And there's also good in this world. And when a rapist decides to rape, he has already made a decision that if this girl or this guy doesn't consent, I am going to force myself on it. And Even if he makes the decision in a split second, a decision is a decision. He made that decision. He made it with his mind.
Uh-huh.
It's at that point, it's not influenced by his family or his environment.
Exactly.
So a rapist it's his fault. The rapist takes full responsibility for whatever actions.
You are saying now that the family is not to blame.
The family is not to blame fully. Hmm. Yeah, you can't.
I kind of disagree with you. I'm not giving them 100%, but I think some level of blame goes to the family too.
Some level of blame goes to everybody.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel, but in the end, my problem is the final decision. It's the rapist that makes that decision to rape.
Exactly.
Everybody got urges. Like, everybody has the urge to do stuff with someone. I feel everybody has that choice, but what differentiates a rapist from a normal guy is the final decision.
Okay, now, sorry, I'm going to be a little bit biased. Okay, this is a very, very sensible, very, very sensitive topic. Now, some myths we have about the rape thing, some myths we have is that dressing. What do you have to say about that? Let me give an example. A lady dresses provocatively and goes to a guy's house. Now, what comes to mind?
That's what I'm saying. It's something that it's still not the lady's fault.
Nobody's blaming the lady.
Dressing provocatively is not consent.
Totally.
It's not trying to match the vibe or trying to put in like give what's the word to set the environment.
Yes, yes.
To actually have sex, maybe it's a normal that's like wearing shorts.
That's why I said it's a myth.
Yeah, it's not.
dressing has nothing to do. Yes,
it has nothing to do with it. That same lady might have dressed that same way to another guy's house.
Yes,
and the guy had a choice to actually force himself on the lady, but he didn't. That's why I say that that is the line between a normal guy and a rapist.
Exactly. Now, well, we have we've talked about the physical effects of the. We'll talk about physical effects of rape, and we're also going to talk about now the mental effects. And I feel like the mental effect is even more
outweighs
the physical, because you see that we have cases of PTSD, that's post-traumatic disorders and all that. Then we have nightmares, flashbacks, you know, then severe anxiety. Like, I like to think that people that are perpetrating that act are going to be listening to this podcast. You understand? So if you're listening to this, it is bad. It is totally wrong to rape a person. It is totally wrong, be it male or female. It is totally wrong, because think about the aftermath. Now, think about the aftermath. Think about what you are doing to that person. You know, we have cases of people committing suicide, just like we established earlier. People committing suicide, you know, depression, prolonged sadness, feelings of hopefulness, unexplained suicidal thoughts. You know, and a lot of people turn out to be bad in the society today as a result of the experiences they might have had when they were young. Now, we live in a society where we hear cases of people raping babies. Now, it's so alarming. It's very alarming. Like, we ask ourselves, what are the moral values that we are meant to actually uphold? Do we have any moral values, again, in the society? Because we see people doing things that are unexplainable, like unthinkable. And we hear cases of people raping babies, like, oh, come on.
I mean, I read the news. This actually, this news, I heard it way, way before this Uwaz case.
Mm-hmm.
The father raped his daughter. It happened in Benin, too.
Mm-hmm.
He said that it was for medicinal purposes.
Oh, my God.
It was spiritual, like, maybe he tried to do voodoo and he was told to rape his daughter to make the charm effective. And then the other dude that got caught raping his daughter too.
Okay.
He's actually a pastor, funny enough. A zonal pastor.
My God.
He said that he didn't know what possessed him. And at that point, I was like, when a rapist finishes performing that act, I feel like he has some semblance of remorse.
The remorse?
Yeah. I feel like he feels remorseful and he has no control over whatever he did. So my advice is that if you have that urge to rape, you should talk to someone. Everybody is judging the rapist. Everybody is like trying to shoot you. But there should be therapy.
You know, you're the first, sorry to cut you, but you know, you're practically the first person giving some level of empathy to the rapist. And I think it's actually, no, don't get me wrong, rape is totally bad. But can we also understand the fact that, yes, it is also more like a psychological problem?
Yeah.
You understand? A psychological problem. Now, some of these people, that's why I say I give some ounce of blame to the family. Some of these people grew up with wrong mindsets.
The rapist starts like, there are a lot little things that we should notice as parents. If I'm a parent, like, there are some signs that you would see and you will know that this man or this lady has no respect for woman folk.
Exactly.
And so when you notice this, you will try to try to tackle it from the roots.
Exactly.
When it's still little, so it won't actually get magnified to all these rape cases.
Exactly.
Actually torturing the whole society these days. So my advice is that there should be a therapy session. gathering of rapists. Well, it's not funny, but I feel if the rapists are given the chance to actually talk, talk about what they're thinking, it makes us have some sort of understanding.
Exactly.
Situation.
Well, we've listed at the common emotional effects, you know, lack of trust, anger, blame, shock, numbness, loss of control, you know, disorientation, helplessness, sense of vulnerability. Now, it messes up with the mind, you know, it messes with the mind. Now, let's look at the negative outlook. Do you know that society is actually there's this stigma towards people that have been abused?
Yeah.
Yes, and we find that we live in a society where stigmatization is even one of the dreaded aftermaths of the whole rape issue, because people find out that when they come out, we see cases of libel, we hear cases of slandering. You understand? And it's terrible. Like, the society does not provide succor. The society is not, we live in a society where it's not even safe. Come out.
I said that rape victims should find their happy place. Like, they should not expect the society, the society have the way of stigmatizing anything.
Okay.
Anything at all. You get stigmatized. You got an STD. And they've had a way of finding out that you got an STD. Stigma. Yeah.
Okay.
You have an STD. Even if you got treated, yeah. Stigma is already there. You got raped. Stigma.
Okay.
You got sick of the coronavirus. And you got well.
Stigma.
So, this whole life race that we are running, we should find our happy place. And we should not try to get our happy place from the society, because we will just be heading towards doom.
Now, so. before we listen to Runa's experience, now, we have some myths about the rape issue. You know, you can't spot a racist by the way he or she looks. You can't spot a rapist by the way he or she looks. You know, and not fighting back is not consent, just
exactly.
Like we rightly established. Not fighting back is not consent. And I've been made to understand that rape occurs based on vulnerability and not how a person dresses.
Exactly.
Not how a person dresses. And if your spouse or boyfriend forces you, it is rape.
Exactly.
Now, that's one thing people don't understand. If your spouse or your boyfriend forces you without your consent, you know, we hear cases of, come now, are you not my girlfriend? Are you not my boyfriend? Are you not my wife? Are you not my husband? And I feel like that scenario has been made to be common. You know, if your spouse forces you, it is rape. So now, we're going to listen to Renan's experience, you know, before we, you know, close this amazing podcast. We're going to listen to Renan's experience and how she was able to, you know,
deal
with that whole trauma thing.
So it's actually not a mind-blowing or really, really depressing experience, but I was harassed sexually on my way home at the cab. The touts or thugs were just trying to, the touts or thugs were trying to force their, like, normally it's you greet them and then they just let you be.
Mm-hmm.
But that fateful day, I don't know whether they had a lot to drink. So it was a really funny experience. But at that point when they were touching me and then the driver wasn't seeing anything and everybody was passing and nobody was actually paying attention that I was getting sexually harassed. I felt really bad and I started crying. Why was I crying? I felt helpless. I felt alone in this world. All my shouts and all the get out, leave me alone, don't touch me. Nobody was actually paying attention. They were still trying to do their thing. And when I got home, it followed me home. Like, I got home, I was still crying. I laid on my bed and I was thinking that, so in the end, I'm alone in this world. So all these people, they don't try to feel my pain. I go home, my brothers weren't actually feeling what I was feeling. They were actually laughing at me that guys touched me and I was crying, and I'm crying about it. But they didn't understand that when someone forces himself on you, and you have no way, you didn't have the strength or the capability of...
You feel helpless.
Yes. It was so painful, like very painful. But I dealt with it. I consoled myself with the fact that, well, I cannot give those people the satisfaction of ruining my joy.
Exactly.
So I just suck it up and, you know, start living my life like normal. It took me like a week, yeah, to get over that.
And that was sexual assault, like, yeah. And touching.
I cannot imagine. I can't imagine how a rape victim actually feels. But I know it's going to be a very terrible thing. But my advice is that you should not let that get you down. If you get to see your rapist every day, make sure he sees you happy. Make sure he doesn't get that satisfaction of seeing you down or low.
Report the person.
Report, yeah. When it's definitely, you have to report the person.
Report
but
the
in
person.
Cases, because we're in Nigeria, yeah, and some the NGOs that we're supposed to trust to actually deal with all the situations don't actually help us the way we want them to help us.
Exactly.
Just find your happy place.
Exactly.
Be happy.
So, well, Rona has said it all. You know, be happy. Find your happy place. It's not easy at all. Like, rape goes both ways, like I said, you know, the male folks and the female folks. And we are more, we have more empathy and sympathy towards the female folk because it's...
weak.
Yes, because they are the weaker vessels and all that. Please, please and please and please and please, we need to be self-conscious. We need to create awareness. These are things that are troubling the society at large. Like, we have cases pouring up every day. If you are a rape victim, please speak out immediately. These people need to be, the perpetrators need to be locked up. Please speak out. Speak out, please. So, that's it for today. That's it for today. I want to thank Bruna.
Thank you
very much for...
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Thank you for gracing our podcast. And well, that's a wrap. 360 degrees. Today we talked about rape, and it's been an amazing... I like to think that it's been an amazing, you know, amazing ride, just like I promised. It's going to be amazing from now on. And I believe that what we've talked about, this is our own way of contributing our own quota to the society, you know, and contributing our quota to the society at large, you know, and creating enlightenment and creating awareness so that these things don't become such a burden that or menace that we cannot control. So, well, if you are a rapist out there, or if you've been raped before, please speak out. And if you're a rapist and you've not been caught, please, I beg you, desist. Desist. Please talk to someone. Please. And that's it for today. I remain your host, Maro Efifena. Goodbye. God bless you.